Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the second time around Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots podcast. I'm Mercy Caulfield, your Military One Source State Consultant, and with me is...
Autumn Cash, the Military and Family Readiness Specialist.
Hi, Autumn.
Hi.
So Autumn and I are actually going to talk with you today about some stress reduction information and stress management. But before we get started, let's just do a quick disclaimer that the information that we'll be highlighting today is shared with all of you for an additional resource for your own personal toolkit, and that the content's not the responsibility of the government, the National Guard, or the Vermont Military Family Programs. Friendly reminder to those of you that are new to Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots that we meet monthly the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. and that we highlight a different topic. And like I said before, we're going to talk about stress management and things that you can do from home, in the car, or at work. You ready to get started, Autumn?
I sure am.
All right. So, Autumn, at our last Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots webinar, we had a guest speaker, the American Red Cross, and they did a fantastic job, wouldn't you say?
They're great. She has so much experience dealing with stress management.
She sure did. And so you and I, would love to share with our audience some of the techniques and resources that we talked about that evening. One of them is, first we had to define stress, because it really is different for everyone, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a lot of people, different things stress them out more than less, or a lot of people it's based on just personal experience.
Very true. And there's good stressors and there's bad stressors. And of course, with holiday season coming up, that gets a little crazy. So when we talked about stress and what it does to us, I think it's really important, wouldn't you say, Autumn, to be like, okay, what are some signs of stress? Mm-hmm.
I know when I'm super stressed, I have difficulty concentrating and I have horrible memory. So I'm constantly forgetting stuff and I have to remind myself to write stuff down or else I'll completely forget.
Well, and it's funny you say that, Autumn, because I also have that same pattern, and with it comes the emotions. Because when I forget things, sometimes I get a little agitated. Sometimes I'm, you know, get a little moody or irritable, because it's like we should know those things.
Well, and usually when you're emotional and irritable and stuff, that becomes a big issue in your relationships, because a lot of times you're taking it on the people closest to you. I know it's about me. I get super impatient, and a lot of times that causes conflict with my significant other.
I can definitely understand and relate to that. Do you ever have those physical attributes like the headache, the stomach pain, digestive problems?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because if you're stressed, a lot of times it's harder to like calm your brain, so you're laying in bed and you're overtired because you can't go to sleep, or you just get super stressed where you're not eating properly, or you're eating really stuff bad for you. I know I
stress
usually
eaters.
Yes. So my stomach's like, what are you doing?
Which then, in essence, if you're making poor choices because you are stressed out, it could lead to decreased motivation, avoidance, even low morale or self-esteem.
Yeah, which takes a big issue at work, and then just how you are acting behaviorally in general. Change in, like I said, sleep, appetite, you're withdrawing from people because you don't want to irritate them or take it out on them.
So when we talk about these things, it's often important to think of, how stressed am I really? Regardless if it's a good stress or a bad stress, right? Like, how do we monitor that?
I know, like, the biggest thing that stressed me out is I have horrible road rage. So when I'm in traffic, I'm usually at a 10, and I'm instant mad. And it's someone cuts me off. It slowly builds, it's instantaneously. But when I'm stressed about, let's say, finances, I'm like at a constant 5, just because it's hard. You get stressed about financial. But that also can be a good stress, because then it's motivating you to take the time to maybe write out your budget and go over stuff. So that's why it's important to know that there's good stress and bad stress. Like bad stress, getting stuck in traffic. Good stress, motivating you to maybe look at why you're stressed.
Very good point. I would say also, like with the finances, like the stress is definitely there for me on that scale, like you said. But then I have to remind myself, be like, I'm thankful that I can pay the bills that I have. Otherwise, my stress would be even higher, right? But then I think about, like, if you are a household with kiddos and how they have extracurricular activities, and then maybe you have hobbies that you like to do, and those are all good stressors, but the amount of time and energy put into that can create a higher level stress level because you need to feed your family and get to where you need to go, even though you're really going to enjoy yourself.
Yes. Stress just seems to be everywhere in life. It's just how you regulate it and work with it.
Very true. So let's talk about how people can overcome those feelings. And I know the Red Cross had talked about like connection to others, connection to self. Let's talk about others. What are some ideas that they shared with us that we think would be really helpful to our audience listening in?
Well, you actually had mentioned how it's stressful when kiddos get into extracurricular activities. So yeah, it's stressful because you're constantly running around, especially if you have multiple kids. Maybe talking to the other moms and being like, hey, could you take my kid on this day and I'll pick up the kids on this day?
Oh, great
idea. So working on a schedule so you're not doing it all yourself.
That's a great idea. And then while you're connecting with those other adults, maybe in general you don't give yourself enough time to have like little mini social gatherings that you could allow 5 or 10 minutes and really set boundaries on those 5 or 10 minutes, because sometimes you can get talking and it gets crazy. But to reconnect with an adult.
Yes, because sometimes it's nice to talk with someone who is going through the same thing as you. Like, no, you're not the only person that's ever experienced this thing. So being able to talk to people who've gone through it before and being like, hey, am I really just being weird or crazy? Like, is this stressing me out for no reason? And a lot of times they're like, oh no, this is what I've done because I felt the exact same way.
Yeah, no, good point. I like to also encourage people to volunteer. Volunteering, of course, is a great way to connect with other people that you wouldn't normally connect with typically. And overall, it gives you that feel-good feeling. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say that there is something to be said for those overextended individuals that give of themselves constantly and don't necessarily do self-care. So yes, we want you to volunteer to connect with others, but it doesn't mean you have to do everything and be everything for other people.
You need to connect with yourself. You need to overcome those feelings of isolation and make sure you can identify them. And they also went over different ways that you can regulate yourself and allow yourself to enjoy those activities you love in your own way and at your own pace. So they had talked about trying a hobby, if it's not volunteering, something you want to do just on your own, or have a journal, write down these feelings, get them out of your head so they're not just sitting there and building.
Oh, and I think they even mentioned about practicing mindfulness, like being present in the moment without letting your mind wander. And how they say practicing, because it's really hard for people to be in the moment. And they did say something about gratitude either. Do you happen to remember, Autumn, what that was about?
So a lot of things, it's hard to be positive, especially when there's so much stuff building up. You want to look at the negative part of it. But practicing gratitude, like there are likely many things that you are grateful for and that you just don't take the time to think about regularly. So taking some time each day to maybe write down the 3 things, like hunt the good stuff. Like, oh, this happened today, but then these 3 awesome things also happened. So it just helps shift your focus and move to more of a positive mindset.
Very good point. Thank you for that. And then some people, they need to find a spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. You know, that it helps them move forward and find the greater good for them oneself. Very important.
And it's a lot of times you just maybe take some time to find other ideas that you can add to this list. None of these are a one fit all for everyone. So just make sure you find something that works for you.
Very good point. You know, Autumn, talking about self-care really helps us to go into quick relaxation exercises that the Red Cross had shared with us. One of the ones that I've really enjoyed was the deep breathing. And it made me think about how Military OneSource has several different deep breathing guided meditation items listed on the website that our military community can access for free. So if you visit www.militaryonesource.mil and type in the search box deep breathing or guided meditation, they will pop up. And that could help people in the moment to de-stress by breathing naturally, because oftentimes when you get increased stress and it goes on that scale, it's really hard to kind of calm yourself down.
I don't think you realize how important deep breathing is, because you don't think about it. You breathe normally without thinking. So you're like, what? Deep breathing? That's too simple. But when we become stressed, our breathing naturally becomes shallow. So you have to make a conscious effort to take slower, deeper breaths to calm your body and mind. So they went over with these, like, working out stress with the time you have. So if you have 1 minute, you can do this breathing exercises. You can start by this exercise by just breathing out first. So you want to force all your air out of your lungs as you draw your belly in towards your spine. Then when you have breathed out all of your air, you slowly breathe in. Focus on expanding your belly with air rather than puffing your chest upwards. And then doing this will help you take that deeper breath you need. And you can do this as many times as you need, whether it be you have 1 minute or 15 minutes or 30 minutes to just sit and calm your breathing and be very mindful of, like, taking in all the air, releasing all the air, which will lower your heart rate and therefore keep you from going down that spiral of freak out.
Yeah, no, and that's a great exercise to practice. Another one is, they called it the hand trace. You start by holding out your left hand, palm up, and then take your right index finger and run it along each of your fingers on your left hand. You inhale slowly and smoothly as you move towards the tip of each finger. Hold your breath for a second or two at the top of the finger, and then exhale as you move back down towards your palm. You can do this on either hand, but it's really just relaxing.
And other things is like focusing. Focus on one object, and how would you describe it to someone? Doing, if you're an active person, maybe just randomly doing push-ups or squats or jogging in place. Or if maybe you have some mints or hard candies on your desk, just maybe lean back in your chair, enjoy that mint, and just kind of go on your little vacation in your head. Picture that beach.
Yeah, guided meditation.
Exactly. Or, well, if you have 15 minutes at daydream, the guided meditation you just talked about, or organizing your desk or organizing that junk drawer that you throw all your little paper clips in.
Good point. Some other things that people can do to help reduce stress is prayer or meditation, massage. You could plan something like a vacation, a date, or a party.
Mm-hmm. Or a lot of times when I'm stressed, I call or text someone that I know it's gonna make me laugh or kind of get my mind off of what's going on. Go for a walk. Sometimes I walk around my building, go up some stairs, or, you know,
listen to music.
That's a good one. A lot of people actually have a radio at their desk, which is super smart. Draw, doodle, you know, maybe if you're into knitting or crocheting and you're at home and you have some spare time.
Oh, it is hunting season. You go hunting or fishing.
That's true. A lot of times having that alone time just out in the wilderness where you can actually, like, reflect on stuff and just be one with nature.
Yeah. Even just laughing, like a real hearty laugh, can reduce mm-hmm. stress. There's so much to do out there. It's just a matter of taking that time. Because you know what, audience? You deserve it. Mm-hmm. You deserve this time for yourself to de-stress.
There's some more, like just maybe doing some quick stretches. A lot of people are really into yoga right now, and there's so many different online programs that you can go and do from the comfort of your own home. Or making that time to go with your friend to get a coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee's so good.
We could do a bucket list, too. Be like, these are the things that I'm going to do, and I'm going to check them off as I do mm-hmm. them.
You can do smaller ones, too. Like, bucket lists don't have to be these crazy adventures. You could do some small ones that you know you could do on a weekend you have free.
Very true. You know, Autumn, these are all really great things. But I also think there's something to be said about, you had mentioned earlier about stress eating mm-hmm. and how it's important about making the right healthy choices. And that leads into the whole, like, getting a good night's sleep, which is really hard as an adult.
Yeah, that's a that's the biggest thing with having healthy habits, is your body can't function if it's not rested and have the energy to do all the things you want to do. So the biggest thing I think they went over was getting a good night rest and how to become a better sleeper, which for me, I know it's very hard.
Yeah.
So they say set your sleep schedule. Go to bed at the same time each night and get up at the same time each morning, which I don't know about you, but especially with the winter, when I have a day off, I'm like, I can stay in bed till 9.
Yeah.
But apparently you shouldn't.
Well, and the fact is with daylight savings time, it's so dark.
Yes, and your bed's so warm.
Yes.
So it's really important to, even on the weekends, get up earlier. Like if you get up at 6 in the morning normally, at least get up by 7 and do your normal routine. Like you get that extra hour to relax, maybe lay in bed, drink your coffee. But it's just really important to reestablish a restful sleep pattern and like monitor your screen time. So I know I'm guilty of this. When I'm at night, I want to just catch up on my Instagram videos. And I'm like, oh my God, look at that cat. Or look at this stupid dog video. And it's probably why I can't sleep at night.
And I justify it because I like watching the 60-second reels. And I'm like, what's one more reel?
You're like, one more. And then 30 minutes later, you're like, oh no.
Now it's time for bed. Yeah. So yeah, monitor those screens. Yeah. Practice.
They say to turn off your screen 1 hour before bed. Or turn on the setting that reduces like the nighttime screen, so it blocks the harmful lights that can come on your phone, which apparently you have a setting on your phone I never knew about.
Nope, I didn't either. Well, and I will say this, an hour does may seem like really drastic for people, so build up to it. Do 15 minutes before, then half an hour before. Mm-hmm. Build up to that 1 hour. Progress.
Yes, and then creating your soothing sleep environment. So keep your room dark and quiet, and that's where the whole turning off your screens an hour before bed takes an account. And your body has its own natural sleeping and waking clock, so it wants to be active when it's light and rest when it's dark, which is why daylight savings is horrible. It's so challenging. And a lot of people try those sleeping masks or the room darkening curtains. I know I have to wear an eye mask because if there's any lights, I cannot sleep. And then it just makes me feel super bougie when I'm like, oh, don't talk to me. I have my eye mask on.
Like, I sleep in. Well, good. So create that soothing sleep environment, everybody. And pay attention to what you eat and drink.
Mm-hmm. I think they were saying you're not supposed to eat and drink. I always heard of 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed. Which I know sometimes midnight snacking is like my greatest nemesis. And also with the cooler season, it makes it easier. But they say keep your room at a cooler temperature because you actually sleep better. So I sleep cold, so I know I just add more blankets on.
Yes, me too.
But it's like find a comfortable temperature so it helps you better sleep. It's different for everyone, but cooler temperatures tend to be better.
And the thing is, for those of you that toss and turn a lot, if you can't fall asleep within 30 minutes, go to another room and do something restful until you feel sleepy again. Mm-hmm. Don't read in bed. Don't be checking the phone or any screens.
They say sometimes to develop a practice of relaxing routine leading up to bedtime. So a warm bath, light stretching, listening to soothing music and reading. But again, do not read in bed. You should only have bedtime or sleep activities in your bed. You should not try to watch TV in bed, play on your phone, snack, read. Keep it strictly for bedtime.
Well, this is a lot of great information for our listeners, Autumn. Let's just briefly talk about how we can help sustain it over a long term.
Mm-hmm. So managing your stress and staying strong over the long term is a lot of times where people falter because it's hard to make new routines, break old habits, stuff like that. So they went over 10 guidelines for managing stress. And the first one was just identify, acknowledge your stress every day and learn how to manage it as effectively as possible. I know it's tempting to just avoid it, but that usually does not work in the long run.
Well, and they did really encourage the whole like seek help, whether it's a peer support or professional assistance. And you and I, in the roles that we play here at Family Programs, are huge advocates about seeking support when necessary.
sometimes you just need to talk to someone else that's not in your normal circle.
Yeah, so, and stay connected. We want you to stay connected to others, your families and your friends, and having those good, healthy relationships and getting that giving and accepting support, because this strengthens resiliencies and helps to sustain.
Mm-hmm. Or cultivate your spiritual side, help others with the volunteering you had mentioned, and just examine your own personal strengths. Like, what are some of your strengths? And set those personal goals, which will help build on your confidence too.
Yep. It will help you to search for positive meaning in the challenges you've been through. And just remember that if you happen to have hardships, because high stress, negative stress is a hardship that you have to work through, and it takes time. So using those opportunities as growing points for yourself and your family members.
It's important to take care of yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others effectively. So try to eat well, avoid excessive alcohol and drug use, exercise, try to relax. All this will help prepare you for handling what may come.
Yep. And remember to get some good sleep.
Yes. Sleep is the building blocks for a happy day.
So Autumn, let's talk about the whole stop it or solve it. You know, the Red Cross talked about how, like, there are only things that you can control. Mm-hmm. And so by putting things into perspective can help determine if these stressors are really something that you can solve or stop. You got to move on because you can't. Now, they had this awesome graph, if you remember, Autumn.
Yes.
And it was like, do I have control over it? If you answered no to that question, stop.
That's the hardest thing.
Stop. Move on. But if you are like, maybe or yes, then ask yourself, can I do anything to change it from happening? Well, if you answered no, what do you think?
Stop.
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 But if you're like, maybe I can do something to change it, then ask yourself, what are my options? And of those options, which option is my best solution? And what if that doesn't work? What's my next strategy? So let's role play, Autumn. Let's come up with a stop or a solve.
Oh gosh. I know this one was a really big one for me because I'm slightly a control freak. So it's really hard. I know, right? It's really hard for me to understand, like, I can't control what people say or what people do. So if I'm spending my entire day stressing about what someone else did, I just get wrapped around the axles. So the biggest thing for me, I think, is, like you said, the first point is, do I have control over this? No.
Stop.
Exactly. Stop. I need to do that. So, yeah.
That's a really good example. And can you do anything to change it?
Not usually. See, my brain's like, I might be able to. No, I need to stop.
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 Stop. And yeah, let's do one where we'll solve it.
Oh, all gosh, right. I'm ready.
Holiday season. And you are, let's say we're planning a dinner meal for a bunch of family and friends. 15 people.
Oh, gosh.
All right. And the food is, you want the food to come out at the same time.
That never happens.
No. So, do I have control over it?
Oh, see, this is where it gets hard. Did you put it on in at the right time? Like the time you wanted to?
Do you have control over that?
No.
Well, maybe you do.
Put it in earlier. Maybe prep some stuff the night before.
So that means, okay, do I have control over it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Can I do anything to change it?
Not now. You can't make something cook faster.
All right, that's true. We can't have the turkey cook faster and have it be edible, right? So what are my options? You already started by saying that I'll put it in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other options?
As I've gotten older, I've noticed to ask for help. So I don't need to cook everything. I can be like, hey, Marcy, could you bring sweet potatoes so I don't have to worry about it?
That's a great option.
Don't take on everything. you can't do everything perfectly.
That's right. I do some of my baking ahead of time, and I'll pre-bake like the pie, so it's mm-hmm. not taking up oven space. So we got some good options there. What option's my best option? I think we got a couple like good ones there.
I think just before the meal, just designate certain people to bring certain sides, and maybe, like you said, pre-make some things if you can. And also asking. You don't need to make everything. If you have some people coming and they're like, hey, how can I help? Give them something to help you with. Don't try to do it all yourself.
Well, and plus, have you ever been to given a meal or been to one where all the traditional sides are there and then only like maybe nobody eats it or one person eats it? Have you ever had that?
Yes, and you're like, I just did all that for no reason.
Yeah. So who says we have to have that traditional side exactly. if nobody's going to eat it? So we go down to the next one of what if that doesn't work and what's my next strategy?
At that point, if you've taken all of those into account, it's the universe. You can't control it. If you've already done all these different steps to pre-make it better, you've done your best. You just need to accept it.
Maybe next holiday, yes. either we do a catered it out or go to somebody else's house.
Yeah, you're like, no, it's a learning experience. You can't fix something that's already happened.
Awesome. Well, stop it or solve it with Marcy and Anna, where you heard it first.
Well, based off that last exercise we just did with Thanksgiving and these holiday seasons coming up, I think it's an important thing to reiterate the gratitude exercise. So practicing this simple exercise daily is proven to increase happiness level and provide a buffer for the effect of negative emotions, which I don't know about you, but sometimes I do get in the negative hole around.
Oh yeah, it gets so overwhelming.
Yes. So thinking of three good things that you've experienced that day, like stuff you're grateful for, and try to include as much detail as possible. And even write it down if you can so you can look back on that day and be like, oh, you know, that wasn't as bad of a day as I thought. All of this great stuff happened.
Well, and just think about today, Autumn. I'm thankful that you came and did this podcast with me. I'm thankful for the audience that's listening in. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that I'll be able to spend the next coming holiday seasons with my family.
Those are great things. And you can write those down. So if you're having a really bad day, maybe you can flip back and be like, wow, you know, maybe I had a good day. It wasn't as bad as I thought. And sharing those daily things with your friends and families. So even telling what you just said, that you're thankful that you get to spend time with your family this upcoming holidays, telling those people that, telling them that you made my day better, thinking about you made me smile, that can make their day better in turn.
Absolutely. And the Red Cross actually introduced a game to us that helped us to put things in perspective and creating silver linings for those challenges that may mm-hmm. come across. And my favorite is the fact that Autumn had shared about traffic early on in this podcast. Mm-hmm. And their number one silver lining item has to do with traffic. So, Autumn, what do you think?
I'm stuck in traffic, but at least I didn't get an accident. Yep. I'm stuck at traffic, but at least I have an understanding supervisor that I was like, hey, I'm running late. And they're like, no, you're fine. I'm stuck at traffic, but at least I probably didn't sped, so I in turn saved gas. Yes.
My boss gave me a hard time today, but at least I have a job.
Yes.
My boss gave me a hard time today, but I know that it's for the well-being of the customer.
Yes. I like that I burned dinner, but at least now I can order pizza.
Yeah.
I burn dinner, but at least I don't have to do dishes. I'm just going to throw away the pan.
There you go. That's a positive silver lining. I'm in the doghouse, which would not happen in my house. But I'm in the doghouse, but at least I still have a roof over my head.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a doghouse, but at least I know I love my significant other and we will get through this.
Yeah.
Or what if you have a really comfy couch and you're like, oh no, I have to sleep on the couch again?
Be like, oh, twist my arm. I do have a comfy couch. I have so much to do and not enough time, but at least I have the time to do the things I need to.
Mm-hmm. That one I like because I think it goes over a lot of what we've talked about, and it's, you don't have to do it alone. And a lot of times when you start talking about like, oh, I have this and this and this to do, most friends would be like, oh, you don't have to worry about that. Or do you need any help? Or, oh, I could do that for you. So I have so much to do and not enough time to do it. But at least I have friends and family who are supportive and I can ask for help if I need it.
Well, Autumn, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and just want to thank everybody for joining us for this podcast. But we would be remiss in not saying that when in doubt, reach out to the 24/7 support call center at 888-607-8773, available to you 24/7, and you can connect with the Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots team, military and family readiness support, as well as family programs overall. Take care. Happy holidays. Bye.
Bye.